You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
In reflecting on some of those SENS announcements that came out today, we got a 12-month update from the team at Barlow World Limited. They gave us an update on their annual results for the 12 months ended September 2024 and that cash dividend that came with that as well. Joined on the line by Barlow World Limited's CEO, Dominic Sewela, to take a look at the company's performance and see what we make of it at this point in the year. Good evening, Dr. Sewela. Lovely to catch up with you again. We spoke earlier in the year and we were touching on a tough first half of the year ahead of an election, ahead of so many other factors that would have affected the second half of your year. How did the second half of the year play out and how was the full year in retrospect?
The second half, I mean, for both Equipment Southern Africa and the Ingrain was better, you know, because we've taken actions, you know, to try and minimize any worse impact, be it around cost or working capital. I think in Ingrain specifically, there were a lot of issues around efficiencies that the second half, certainly, we were able to sort of break even on some of those costs. However, on the other hand, I think things have worsened in Russia in terms of, you know, sanctions, and where from a regulatory point of view, there's been a lot of clampdown on export control. And Mongolia was the shining star for the group, you know, where they had, 66% increase on revenue, and the bulk of it was related to sales, where we saw machine sales rise about 143%, you know, compared to last year, which it was very good, I think. So on balance, the geographic diversification, you know, has come, to assist us quite a bit in this particular circumstance.
Dominic, you touch on those Mongolia operations. I remember in the first half of the year, that was also a big area of focus for the business to say that was going to be something that you were going to look forward to. What has gone right in that region that's made that business shine better than perhaps some of the other regions that you guys operate in?
I think largely it has been the mining activity in Mongolia. And Mongolia's close proximity to China makes it possible for Chinese markets to draw most of the resources out of Mongolia as opposed to the rest of the world. And so logistically, it's easy. I mean, the bulk of the commodity that was drawn out of Mongolia is mainly coal, and there were some, copper assets as well, you know, that were drawn into. So the answer here is China, to be honest with you. The bulk of the demand and pull for those commodities is China. And therefore, we saw most of our mining contractors, you know, placing orders on us. You know, when we closed the year last year, we had an order pending, which we have delivered. And so you could see with the order book for next year is dropped to about $60 million. You know, that's indicative of the fact that, you know, so we've delivered the bulk of that order. You know, so yeah, I guess, you know, that's the main, you know, story for Mongolia.
Dominic, when we look at some of the other numbers, revenues down just under 7% as a result of that, obviously, with HEPS down from group operations, that was down about 21% as well. Are you concerned at this stage about the top line figures or any of the figures at the moment? I mean, we will touch on the debt figure, and I want to talk about that separately because we spoke about that at interims as well, but I want to just get a sense of the full year's performance. I mean, are you comfortable where the business sits at the moment?
Yes, because if you remember, I gave an outlook last year when we presented our results to say, you know, we're likely to see headwinds from a cyclical point of view, particularly in Southern Africa. And you can see most of our customers have taken pain. So when your customers are taking pain, they won't be ordering products. They may be packing equipment. So your parts sales also gets impacted. So I think, you know, I was fairly comfortable, you know, in terms of, you know, that decline. You know, you never like, you know, a decline, but I think you've got to be pragmatic and realistic that if you're running a cyclical business, the cycles are up and down. So the question is, what do you do when you go through a downturn? There are two levers you've got to pull. You know, one is cost, the other one, you know, is how you utilize your cash in terms of working capital.
And on that cost side, let's get into that debt. Half year, you said you'd paid down about 31% of the gross debt from the previous half year period. Now looking at the full year numbers, that balances out to about 29%. But 3.2 billion rand in gross debt being paid down, that's certainly going to lighten your interest bill, but it also frees up the balance sheet and puts you in a slightly different position from a gearing perspective.
Certainly does. I mean, you know, and if it were not for the pension fund where we paid about 27.3 million pounds, to basically extinguish that liability, the net debt would have been even better. So I think it's important that when you talk about interest, because of the lag, you're likely to see even a better impact in the next 6 to 12 months going forward, because the bulk of it just happened to towards the tail end of the second year, and therefore you won't see a huge. So you see probably a 5%, decline in interest charges. So I guess from that point of view. But when you have a strong balance sheet, you're able to take opportunities when they present themselves. But when you go through a difficulty, you're able to also go through that, without being too overly concerned, because you've got to weather the storm. And that's what I really, having a defensive balance sheet helps with, But at the same time, you also don't want to be sitting with a lazy balance sheet. And to that extent, that's why the board felt it got to distribute the capital back to the shareholders in the order of the dividend.
And that dividend obviously coming through still, even though we spoke about it at the half-year period as well, to say that even though times might be a little bit tough, if you can still reward the shareholder within the dividend policy, then it's always good to be able to do that, bearing in mind that you are obviously not wanting to put the business under any unnecessary strain.
Certainly. I mean, when you look at our Russian operation, we sit with a close to about R1 billion of cash in Russia. It's not easy to move that cash. So when you look at the debt load in the rest of the business, similarly, it is not massive. And when you pay dividend, it's important that you pay dividend out of free cash. And we did generate some free cash. To that extent, we are able to then afford paying a dividend of that magnitude.
Dominic, we touched on this in April around the cautionary that was put out during the first half of the year, or the April cautionary rather, that we then looked at and said at the time we couldn't really reflect on much because everything was still ongoing. I see we now have a bit more color on the matter. Take me through what's happening with Caterpillar Africa, the acquisition there, what's going on. I see there's a couple of conversations that are happening.
I'm not too sure what you're referring to about Caterpillar Africa, but I guess what I can address the issue around the cautionary. I think, the cautionaries that were issued previously were quite bland. I think there's more color, as you say, to this cautionary. But I can't comment more than what has been stated in that cautionary. And I'm hopefully, when things do change, we can give a market update on the progress of the discussion that the board is having. I can only comment to that extent, because there is an independent board that has been set up, that is looking at the transaction as stated out in the cautionary. And things like this, whenever you have discussions, there's no certainty that they could be concluded positively. So that's why it's important that we advise, our shareholders to trade caution with caution, because they mustn't assume necessarily that the deal will be consummated. But I guess if anything, we will update once things, turn either way.
For those listeners out there wondering what it is that we are referring to, there is a potential deal, as we say the word potential because nothing's been concluded or agreed upon, between a Saudi Arabian firm that is potentially looking to take Barloworld private. At this stage, we have very little details about that because the conversation is still ongoing. And as Dominic has rightfully said here, if we do happen to hear more information, we will share that information with you. If we don't, then we'll share that information with you as well. But I think we'll leave the conversation there for now. Dominic, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. All the best to you and the team for the new financial year. We'll leave the conversation there. That's Dominic Sewela, who is the Chief Executive Officer at Barloworld Limited, on their full year's numbers and how the group performed.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.